This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
How's it going, everybody? This is Moe. Over on the virtual screen is McGee, and we are Moe and McGee on Fantasy. Kevin, the Thanksgiving games were great. I doubted my Vikings. If you listen to the podcast, I was down on them bad, and they showed up.
Yeah, and if you're paying attention to my bets, you went 3-0 and got all the over-unders right, too. I'm on, I think, a 9-bet streak now, so I'm due you're for hot, a loss. Kevin. But you know what? I'm also a lock to get at least one right. So
there you go.
Put some money down on my bets this week.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off with some flexible flex plays. It's getting to the end of the season, Kevin. Two or three more games, depending on your league format. Some people maybe even be in the playoffs already if they're, you know, in a deep league. Who's a couple flex plays? Maybe they ran into some injuries. These guys can be picked up for free off waivers and maybe get some points for them.
Yeah, available in 93% of leagues, we have Randall Cobb in a game that could be a sneaky shootout. The Bears scoring more points lately than they have the rest of the season. Justin Fields should be back. The Packers just put up more than 30 points against a really good Eagles team. And Randall Cobb's back, found the end zone last week. I think that there's some connection still there with Rodgers. He's going to be on the field a little bit more than a little because Romeo Doubs should still be out. I like Randall Cobb this week.
Yeah, last two games, 13.3, 9.9. I mean, as far as free off the waiver wire, that's money. Justin Fields, I feel like, is a big part of this. If Justin Fields doesn't play, you know, that score fest that you're talking about might not break out, but Bears defense is bad. Packers can score. I feel like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are still trying to make some type of move. It's going to be tough with the NFC East so good, but you know, they're going to try their best.
Absolutely. And the other guy that I have as a flexible flex play is Alec Pierce, who faces the Dallas Cowboys this week. Trevion Diggs should be, might play, might not, battling illness. Even if he does play, he should be matched up against Michael Pittman Jr. Opposite side should be left open for Alec Pierce. I expect Micah Parsons and company to really try to lock down the run for that Colts offense. And if Diggs doesn't play, that pushes Anthony Brown over to Michael Pittman, and it should be wide open for Alec Pierce. If you're looking for a guy to get a touchdown or maybe even save you with 6 and 60, I like Alec Pierce, who is available in almost 90% of leagues. So
Kevin,
both these guys are available. You can get them. So go out and scoop them up if you're looking for a flexible flex play this week.
Yeah, Kevin, I got to disagree on this one. Does it concern you that Jelani Woods had 8 catches and then Paris Campbell is also kind of higher in the target tree?
A little bit, but we saw Alec Pierce really hit his stride about halfway through the season, has kind of gone away a little bit. I think some attention is going to be drawn away from him. I expect that box to be loaded pretty heavily and hopefully clog things up for Paris Campbell and leave that opposite side open for Alec Pierce. That's really the thought process here. It could blow up in my face, but it would give you a good reason to watch the Sunday night game. So that's always a prick for me. I like picking the primetime players.
There you go. Yeah, get some skin in the game. My first flexible flex play is going to be a guy who has like 20 catches on the season, but Elijah Moore kind of hops back into the scene last week with Mike White, 2 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown, faces my Vikings this weekend. Kevin, fun fact, the Vikings are the second worst defense when it comes to average yards per play, the lowest being Detroit. The Vikings are second. So teams have been chunking the ball against the Vikings. Now, this semi depends on a Caleb Evans, who is a backup cornerback, but it was starting, had a concussion, was out last week. We started Duke Shelley on that Thursday night game against the Patriots. Whether it's Duke Shelley or Caleb Evans, I think the Jets are going to be able to throw the ball a little bit. At least, I'm hoping that the Vikings score enough points where the Jets are going to have to chunk it. And I like Elijah Moore to maybe bust a big one.
Yeah. You're a little skeptical of my Alec Pierce pick. I'm a little skeptical of the Elijah Moore pick. Only on the field 35% of snaps last week. I do see the scenario where Mike White, he did have a deeper throw to Elijah Moore last week. Maybe they see a little bit of potential there and do try to provide a little more of a focal point behind that. It's a big risk. So if you're swinging there for the fences, I don't mind it. But if you want something safe, I'm not going there.
Kevin, it's not time to be safe. It's getting to the end of the season here. Speaking of not being safe, so Najee Harris potentially out, didn't practice today, Thursday. So I kind of have a combo pick. Jaylen Warren / Benny Snell. Whoever starts, so Jaylen Warren has been banged up. He was a full participant in practice yesterday and today, so it looks like it's going to be Jaylen Warren. But I like Jaylen Warren or Benny Snell going against Atlanta. I feel like this game is just going to be a run fest. You know, both teams love to run, doesn't have really explosive passing games. I feel like it's going to be a close game. I believe the spread is 1. The over-under is 42. Gives, both teams around 3 touchdowns. So I like starting running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
I was skeptical of your Elijah Moore pick, and I absolutely love this pick, actually.
There you go.
Especially if it's Benny Snell. I love me a little bit of Benny Snell. Jaylen Warren, I'd be a little worried. He has missed the last couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. Could be a chance that acts up. So if Jaylen Warren looks to be the lead back, I don't know if I like pushing all my chips in on him. But if he's the starter, I think you do have to go with him. If Benny Snell's the starter, obviously you have to go there. Benny Snell did find the end zone. Pittsburgh wants to run the ball. They don't mind throwing it a little bit to the running back. I think this is a pretty safe pick, but I'm all over it if Benny Snell is the starter.
Kevin, you've been on Benny Snell's train since he outperformed James Conner week 1 2 years ago.
You bet your ass.
And then didn't see the field again.
And then he totally died.
Sat
on my bench that entire season. You bet. I love that.
So good pick, bad pick, good pick, bad pick. As we say with flexible, flex plays, these are not guys that you're happy to start. They're guys that are probably forced to start in some type of way. That's why they're flexible. You have to be flexible in fantasy. So those are guys where if you are having to be a little flexible with your morals and your dignity, these are guys that you might have to start.
Absolutely. Next segment we have up here is question time. Go ahead, fire me your question.
All right, Kevin, there's been a few underperforming players. They got drafted highly. Some people have stuck with them on their benches. Some people have maybe even started them. Who's been an underperforming player, compared to their ADP that can step it up down the stretch and maybe catch fire for the playoffs?
I have like one specific player a shit ton here, and that is Mike Evans. Mike Evans, wide receiver 20 on the season. So, not horrible compared to ADP, but that's really buoyed by one big week against Kansas City where he went for 8 catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Other than that, has not scored over 19 points. And that's not what you expect from Mike Evans. And I don't expect that to continue. Here's how he finishes the season. Weeks 15, 16, 17. Cincinnati could very well be a shootout. Arizona, again. Tampa Bay could be forced to put up a lot of points. And then Carolina, in a game that somehow, by some miracle, could be for the division championship. Let's hope not. But the three very beatable defenses could be high-scoring games. Mike Evans, although he hasn't put up a lot of points lately, has had a couple occasional drops, a few overthrows from Brady. Brady's going to somehow sneak into the playoffs, make a run through the playoffs. You know it's going to happen, and it's going to start at that tail end of the season when Tampa Bay needs wins, and he's going to look no other to Mike Evans.
You know, Kevin, this is so weird because when I was thinking of this question, I thought you'd go with a person on your team.
Yeah, well,
but you didn't. I went with Keenan. I think Keenan Allen is the guy that I was thinking of when I wrote this question. Chargers are in the same kind of vein. They're going to be fighting for that wild card spot the rest of the season. He's come off his, you know, two really good games, 12.4, 15.9. I don't see any reason why he can't average around 16 to 20 points every game the rest of the season. He's got the Raiders up next, Miami, kind of two tough matchups with Tennessee and Indianapolis. You know, Indianapolis might not be playing for much in week 16, but a nice little run of games here for Keenan Allen. And he's a guy that when he's at his best is, you know, matchup proof, where you're not too concerned about what defense he's playing. So I would be excited. You know, maybe you traded for him midseason when he wasn't playing at all, or you held on to him through the bad times like Kevin did. but I think Keenan Allen could be a guy that, you know, steps up here the rest of the season.
Yeah, finally has a few full practices under his belt. I can only imagine that there's got to be some rest there after missing 8 weeks. I agree. Keenan Allen has always been a target hog. Haven't seen it yet this season. 8 targets in week 11, 7 targets in week 12. This is a 13-14 target guy. He still has it. You can see that if you're watching the games. I love Keenan Allen. I couldn't pick a player on my team. I couldn't force myself to do it. I said that I was biased. I'm so excited to draft Keenan Allen and have him burn me again next year. But I agree that he, especially if the Chargers are forced to throw the ball in you know, some forced game scripts, Keenan Allen is going to be getting those targets.
All right, Kevin, what do you got for me?
What fantasy player would most benefit from a change in scenery this offseason?
You know, I think the obvious answer would be Tony Pollard, but I'm going to go with another running back, Kareem Hunt. I still feel like there's some juice there with Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb is all world. He's, you know, for my money, I would take him almost over any other running back in the league. He falls forward for 4 yards every play. And he can bust it too. But Kareem Hunt's still a good player. Doesn't get the opportunities he has the last few years. You know, with running backs, the age thing could start to be a concern with Kareem Hunt, but I would love to see him get a chance to be a workhorse again. And I see there's few teams out there that could use that. So I'm gonna go with Kareem Hunt. I hope he gets his trade wish, gets traded, and, you know, can explode.
Yeah, very, very puzzling that Cleveland would hold on to Kareem Hunt, deny that trade request, and then not utilize him really all that much, especially compared to the last couple of seasons. You'd see him get a lot of red zone work, just not seeing it this year. I agree. Better landing spot could do him a lot of good.
How much fun would have Kareem Hunt been on the, you know, instead of Jeff Wilson on the Dolphins, Kareem Hunt? That would have been.
Oh, my Lord. That would be just scary.
All right, Kevin, here's another scary question. We've talked about this before. I don't know we have this year yet. You and I both share a despise for kicking and defense in fantasy. Now, other than completely just getting rid of it, do you have any ideas or proposals on how we could kind of fix it to make it not as random or, you know, not as, you know, oh, God, I faced this defense who, you know, luckily scooped up a touchdown and had 21 points while my defense kind of had an average game with six. You know, the variability and the unpredictability is tough.
Yeah, I think you're leading me into this one a little bit. I think the obvious answer is to squish the points a little bit. You shouldn't be in leagues where a 50-yard field goal is worth 5 points. 50-yard field goal in the NFL is worth 3 points. A touchdown is worth 6 points. Fantasy football, a touchdown is worth 6 points. Doesn't make much sense to me. Squish the points a little bit. I think that's pretty obvious. An easy way to fix it. Kicking and defense in fantasy football is very fluky. Yeah, it's fun to have them in there a little bit, but really they should have a much smaller impact on the needle. It should be, yeah, it was a real tight one, and I barely won it because my defense scored 8 points to this person six. Otherwise, we were even across the board. And instead of, I lost this matchup because I gave up. Or I only had 5 points for my defense and they had 20. Squish the points. I think that's an easy fix. One interesting one that I think would be really cool. I like it. I came up with it. No site has this programmed in, but I think it would be cool if your fantasy defense and kicker could get you some fab back. So they don't count towards your weekly lineup scoring. But if you pick the best defense and the best kicker, you have them on your team, you get an extra $10 in fab back, or you get $5 in fab back. Have them affect the game in a little bit different way. Keep it fun. Keep them involved and interesting. But don't swing wins, losses based on kicking and defense.
Yeah. You know, my number one goes to the, yeah, I'm very much with you with the kicking. I think every field goal under 55 yards should be worth 3 points. If they kick a 55 yarder, give them four. But my big one that I hate, I absolutely hate it. Get rid of the yardage thing with fantasy defenses. You know, why is it that there's some arbitrary, oh, if your defense gives up more than 250 yards, that's 2 points. But if it gives up 350 yards, that's negative 1 point. That's just get rid of that there. And then you can actually inject some skill into picking a defense. If the only thing you're getting points on is turnovers or sacks, well, I would love to get the, you know, Patriots defense because they're number one in sacks, or the Cowboys defense would be the number one defense because you're pretty much drafting Micah Parsons. There'd be a lot more skill to, okay, this team is facing a weak offensive line. They're going to get a few more sacks. And that way, you know, your defense isn't scoring over 20 points unless they get a touchdown, which is completely unpredictable. But you can predict this team is going to get more sacks than this team, most likely, based on the data. And that's what we're doing in fantasy, Kevin. This player is going to get more yardage than this player based on data. There's no way to, you know, sure, if the Lions are playing the Chiefs, they're going to give a shitload of yards up. You can kind of predict that. But also, maybe the Chiefs run up 250 yards in the first half and then stop playing because they're up by 35. And somehow the Lions Lions defense gets bonus points for only giving up 250 yards, even though they got smoked. I just don't think that makes any sense. And I just realized I wrote this question so I could go on this rant, Kevin.
That's all right. I know. I agree with you. If you use standard format for kicking and defense, basically what you're saying is we're introducing chaos into the league where some people will win and lose matchups totally based on luck. And for some people, that's appealing. For me, I hate that. That drives me absolutely nuts. If I wanted to play the lottery, I would.
Brett Maher scored, 23 points against the Vikings the other week. Just stupid.
Yeah, and Tyler Bass scored 20, and I hate losing because of defense and kickers. I'm not losing because of defense and kickers this year. I'm losing because my team sucks. But in the TKD league, winning elsewhere, obviously. But it sucks. My last question here: what NFL team takes the biggest leap next year? There's some teams that are underperforming. You know, you think of the Rams, in particular. Is there somebody else that you think really comes back next year and really proves this year as either a warm up to something coming or just a down year in general, and they're going to be a force next year?
Hey, Kevin, I have two teams in mind, and they're both kind of contingent on who they pick in the draft or make a trade or something. If the Lions and Colts can figure out quarterback, I feel like those teams are kind of ready to ascend. The Colts have been in that weird mix: good defense, good running back, good offensive line, bad quarterback. The Lions are kind of have been a mess on defense, but you know, they have a bunch of young draft picks. The offense looks good. The offensive line is good. It's good weapons. You know, could CJ Stroud or Bryce Young come in and turn that into a 10-win team in Detroit really quick? You know, I think the answer wouldn't be a for sure yes, but and then, you know, you look at the Colts, they're aging on defense, but still have a lot of talent on offense. They're going to be picking a new coach, obviously, as well. And then another team that kind of interests me is the Jags. Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence, once again, just a team that has kind of loaded up on draft picks on defense the last few years. So those are some teams that I'm interested in. Any of those trip your trigger?
Yeah, I really like Jacksonville as a pick there. You touched on Detroit. I think Detroit, they have the offensive line. I think Jared Goff is an okay enough quarterback if Stroud and Bryce Young go 1-2. Detroit might just walk into having a pair of Will Anderson and Aiden Hutchinson, which would be an unreal defensive line. I would be terrified as a Vikings fan at that possibility. That defense is a couple pieces away from really turning it around. Jeff Okuda started to play better. I think Detroit is really who came to mind for me. Yes, they could replace Goff, but I don't know. And they have money to spend this offseason as well. With loading up in all those draft picks the last few seasons, they'll have Jamie Moe back. We'll get to see what he has this year. But that offense between DeAndre Swift, Jamie Moe, Amon-Ra St. Brown, enough weapons there on offense, and a defense that's, I think, not playing well this season, but has pieces to really be a force in the future.
There you go. Kevin, let's head into our write that down predictions. Kevin, on a three, got three wins last week, and you're just on a heater. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go with maybe one that doesn't seem so safe, but I feel really good about it. I'm picking them all over the place. Titans +5 against the Eagles. Eagles really easily could have dropped that last one to the Packers. Were beat by the Commanders. Titans looked pretty damn good earlier this past week. Traylon Burks looks like he's really coming into his own. Obviously, you have to stop Derrick Henry. There's a good possibility that this could be a very low-scoring game. Titans taking their out of the ball and playing just well enough defense to keep it close. I really like Tennessee to win it outright, but if you're going to give me 5 points, I'm going to take that all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's already down to four and a half, Kevin. This is when the Titans start playing their best ball, usually. You know, Vrabel, I think, has established he's top five coach in the NFL. The Titans know who they are with Tannehill and Derrick Henry. They don't really need a lot out of the passing game. They play solid defense, run the football. And we've seen the Eagles are, you know, having to outscore teams right now. The defense is not as stingy as it had been previously. So I like that, Kevin. I like that pick. Right. I'm going to go Lions money line. You didn't have the guts to go money line. I did. The reason being that Jacksonville was only a 1-point favorite, but this over-under was set at 51, Kevin. 51, Ford Field in Detroit. Jags are coming off a huge emotional victory against the Ravens. Trevor Lawrence drags them back after just horrid three quarters. And I think that all ends this week. I think this is a letdown game against the Lions. Jags are feeling good about themselves. They go to Detroit. Lions playing well on offense. I'm going to go Lions money line.
This will be a good game. I'm really excited to watch it. Travis Etienne left the game early last week, and they still beat the Ravens. He only had two touches for 3 yards. I like the Jags here. Caesars even has Jags as a favorite at one point. I don't know. I think this Jacksonville team's coming into its own. They're getting that offense figured out. Trevor Lawrence is proving to be a capable threat through the air, throwing to Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. We'll see. I think they'll have to hold Aiden Hutchinson down, who he himself has really gotten hot here lately. And if they can do that, I do like the Jags, but it'll be an interesting game, and I'm excited to watch it.
All righty. Where are you going next?
I'm looking at the Vikings to continue. This is 2 weeks in a row betting on the Vikings. I like them -3 against the Jets. It was nice to see Mike White play pretty well last week, but I think there's some turmoil there a little bit with the Zach Wilson situation. Michael Carter shouldn't be playing in this matchup, so we'll be looking at Zovian Knight and Ty Johnson out of the backfield. Maybe James Robinson is active. We'll see about that. That Vikings team has shown that even facing a really strong Patriots defense, they can put up points. They're going to face another strong defense in the Jets. I like them to score more than 3 points, more than the Jets.
Yeah, I was really confused with that line. I thought we'd be a little more of a heavy favorite. You know, the -3 or -2.5 is just kind of a, here's the home team. You know, these are two evenly matched teams, but this is the home team kind of line. I think the Vikings are just better than the Jets. You know, it's not a great feeling that, like, the Jets might have found a good quarterback. I was looking forward to seeing Zach Wilson just absolutely get obliterated all day. One thing that I do like about this pick is the Vikings are getting a little healthier on defense. Dalvin Tomlinson practiced fully this week. I mentioned a Caleb Evans, who has shown well, rookie cornerback, is going to play. And, you know, I think you mentioned that the Vikings offense is just kind of on a different level right now with Hockenson, who has the most catches of any tight end in their first 4 games with a team ever, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, 26 catches through 4 games. Just adds a different dimension up the middle for that team. And I think what he's really done is taken away the safe checkdowns because, you know, Hockenson is just better spatially aware than a guy like Tyler Conklin or Kyle Rudolph, where he's getting down the field a little more on his curl routes or his outs. And so they're not, you know, technically they might be checkdowns, but he's getting them down the field a little more. So, yeah, you know, I'll be in the bank this weekend, Kevin, rooting on the Vikes. So can't make the bet because I'm in Minnesota, but I love the bet.
Great.
All right, my next pick is for a very special friend, Kevin, and this is for my friend Greg, Greg Rainey. And I just got to, I'm taking the Chiefs, -2 at the Bengals, and I think this is a rout, Kevin, a rout. The Chiefs, I heard this today, Kevin. I could not believe my ears. The Chiefs are 17-3 in December under Patrick Mahomes. 17-3. You hear that, Kevin? 17-3 under Patrick Mahomes in the month of December. This is Chiefs football. There, I know it's at Cincinnati. I know the Bengals are kind of feeling themselves. Big win over the Titans. Chiefs come to town. They show the Bengals who's daddy after that AFC Championship game. Chiefs in a rout. You know, if you can, I'd bump that thing up to, you know, buy some points, Kevin. -4, -5, -6. I love it.
Yeah, I really like that pick. You're not going to go poor betting on Patrick Mahomes. It turns out he's very good at football. And Travis Kelce, also very good at football. Isaiah Pacheco playing very well. That offense looks really, really good. Defense looks good enough.
I mean, yeah, there's not much to say. The Chiefs are good. This is a good bet. We love the Chiefs on this podcast. That's well documented.
All over the place.
But yeah, I mean, what else to say? I think, Kevin, with our last two picks, we picked, you know, can you imagine what a Vikings-Chiefs Super Bowl would look like? Wow. I think that's a rematch of a Super Bowl at one point where the Chiefs beat the Vikings. So we'd get our Super Bowl revenge over Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know about that. You know, I'm going to cut you off right there. That's a little.
Yeah, okay.
Pipe dream. Yep.
Well, it's been fun. This has been Mo and McGee on Fantasy. That's your primer. Good luck on your stretch into the playoffs.
See ya.